It's not looking good for Bitcoin, and it really is decision time, because what happened is we dumped below this range, and not only that, we dumped below the bull market support range. So it really has become decision time for Bitcoin. Either we break back up and then we continue in the bull market, or we need to possibly have a discussion around the fact that we could actually be in a bear market, which is something that I've been talking to you guys about for a while. As I said to you, when a bear market comes, there's no announcement that it's a bear market. The prices just go down and down and down. And then eventually 6 months later, you look back and you go, holy shit, that was the top of the bull market. Today, we're going to look at the data on both sides, and we're going to take a very sobering view as to whether we are still in a bull market or whether this is a bear market. And we're going to talk about what actually made Bitcoin dump and what's going to happen next. So if that sounds good to you, then let's get on with the show. Josh, get this thing down, bro. Because people are going to think that I said this. I wasn't the one who actually said it. It's somebody else's tweet. It says, a crypto crash is worse than a divorce. You lose half your money and your wife is still around. Josh, get it down. I didn't say that, bro. Next thing you know, like, my wife watches the show, it's going to be bad. Anyway, I mean, I don't know if we can joke today after what's been going on in the markets, but I mean, what else can we do if we can't joke? Been a rough 24 hours in the markets. We're going to look at exactly what happened, and we're going to look at whether it can get worse, because truth is, it can get worse. And we're going to look at the probabilities. We're going to look at the data on both sides, and we're going to make a decision as to where this market's going next. We need to make a very sobering decision, because it's all very well that KOLs can sit and tell you, oh, the market's going to go up, buy the dip. But we're going to look at the data, and we're going to see what the data actually says. And then we're going to make a real choice as to whether or not you should be buying the dip, or whether this is maybe the beginning, or maybe not even the beginning anymore, because we've been going down for so long. Maybe we actually are in a bear market, and if you carry on buying the dip, you're just going to run out of money, and that's pretty much going to blow you out of crypto. And the main thing about crypto is actually just surviving, and we'll talk about that a bit later. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. If that sounds good to you, obliterate the like button, like Jeebin says, obliterate the like button, obliterate. Someone says Sheldon got wrecked. Sheldon didn't get wrecked. Sheldon had a baby on Friday, so he's spending some time with his newborn baby. And actually, right now he's actually live in one of his schools, believe it or not. If that's not commitment, I really don't know what is. I really don't know what is. Remember also, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, join us, 1.157. Well done, guys. Well done. 1.157 subscribers. Who unsubscribed now? Was that you? I hope not. Anyway, let's get into the alpha of the show, because there's lots to talk about. So I think we had a capitulation event last night, another capitulation event. The first capitulation event in the market was when ETH capitulated a few weeks ago, and we got this green candle that went all the way down to 2,147. And I think it's important that we talk about the fact that it was ETH, because ETH is one of the widest held altcoin assets that actually collapsed a few weeks ago. Yesterday, we had Solana actually collapse. And again, why is that so important? Because you had Sol, which is, again, one of the widest held assets of this bull market, now go all the way down 55% in this bull market. When you get two of the biggest and most widely held assets in the bull market collapse, that is typically what causes a capitulation. The only difference between this capitulation and the previous capitulation is that if you look at the previous capitulation, Bitcoin didn't capitulate. This one, Bitcoin actually did respond. And what happened with Bitcoin in this particular response is that not only did Bitcoin break below this range, which we've been in since the 11th of November. So it's a range that we entered on the 11th of November, which is about 107 days ago. But now we've actually broken down below that range. And if you look on the weekly, we've broken below the bull market support bands. Now, the bull market support bands aren't gospel. I mean, there are times in the bull market, in many other bull markets, where you do touch or go near the bull market support bands. But generally, in a bull market, you want to stay above the bull market support bands. If you look at the bull market of 2021, you can see that for the most part of the cycle, we actually stayed above the bull market support bands. We broke down below, and we'll talk about this breakdown below once. And the same thing if you look at 2017. Very rarely on the way up did we break below break down below the bull market support bands. That's super important because that is what, you know, they talk about, we're talking about whether or not this is actually, we're still in a bull market or whether we are in a bear market. One of the indicators that tells us that maybe this bull market's actually finished is the bull market support bands. That's it. It's not unusual, and it has happened before that we've broken down before and continued in the bull market. But it's not a healthy sign, as you can see, and we now have broken down below the bull market support band. What we can hope for is that before Sunday, before the weekly close, we close above 91 or 91.5, and that way, that would eliminate the fact that we closed below the bull market support bands. When you look at liquidations in the last 24 hours, 1.52 billion, another 1.52 billion, there's pretty much no more leverage left in the system. Between the Bybit liquidation, the capitulation, and this, there's not much left left in the system. Also, you'll remember we spoke about the Bollinger Bands. And I said to you the other day that the Bollinger Bands actually were very, very tight. And usually when the Bollinger Bands are tight, we expect a move. We expected the move to be in the upside and a continuation of the bull market. And this time we actually got the move. So the Bollinger Bands weren't wrong, but our call was that we thought the Bollinger Bands were going to move up. And since Friday, a lot of things have changed. And now the Bollinger Bands have actually gone down. Let's quickly analyze this correction relative to all other corrections. So let's look at how this correction scores. So for one, if you look at the data here, what you'll see is that this is the biggest drop down that we've had in this quarter. So we're down about 20%, and that's the biggest drop down that we've had in this quarter. It's actually slightly more. It's the second biggest correction that we've had in this cycle. The previous correction, when we were trending sideways, was 33%. But because it was protracted over a long period of time, it didn't feel as harsh and as sore because it took us a long time. If you go back to this chart over here, and you go look back at this level over here. This was at that very, very, very long capitulation that we had, which started in March and pretty much like at some point ended here. That was a 245-day correction. And it took us about, let's quickly go there, from top to bottom, it took about 154 days. And that's why it didn't feel as sharp. This one also managed to get us into extreme fear. Now you'll know that I'm a big supporter of this fear and greed index because I feel that corrections are not actually about price, but they're about changing behavior. And the only thing that can really change behavior is extreme greed and extreme fear, and actually more extreme fear. And it's not unusual in bull markets to get big drops in the fear and greed. However, what you'll realize is that if you look at this one, this is one of the biggest drops we've had in fear and greed, typical of actually a bear market, because you can see that this is the fear and greed usually drops to these levels, doesn't usually drop to these levels in the midst of a bull market. And so we have to keep our options open that maybe we are in a bear market, and I'm not saying we are. The mood is down for people in crypto. The people are starting to talk about the fact that it's over. It's the first time that we're seeing real capitulation in the market. Even like big influencers, Lark, who's a friend, who says, brutal markets, Bitcoin at the bottom of the range, ETH broke a multi-year uptrend and ETH capitulated, sold down 50% in a month, most altcoins mega wrecked, load of rejections across the board. Pretty much the market's starting to realize that this is a very, very, very big capitulation. I like this tweet from Michael Funder Pop, who said, the final capitulation before the next capitulation, but this time it's the final capitulation. It is. I mean, that's exactly what it feels like before about bear markets. There's no announcement that it's a bear market. It just gets down, slightly up, down, slightly up, down, slightly up, until you look back 6 months later and go, holy shit, that was the top of the bull market. And again, a lot of people are actually saying that is exactly what happened. I mean, I do want to look at this Bitcoin correction. As I said, we are down about 20%, 18.45%. Let's compare that to other corrections or other years. So in 2016 and 2017, we had multiple corrections. All of them were above 30%. I remember them very clearly. All of them were above 30%. The middle ones were around 40%. This one was about 35 or 36%, if I remember correctly. And the thing that stuck out in a bull market is the fact that the time from the bottom to the recovery, and when I say recovery, to the price that that we were trading before the collapse, was very, very short. Six days to the local bottom, 42 days to recover. Here we had 15 days to the local bottom, 32 days to recover. Here we had 34 days to the local bottom. So around maximum 2 months, but usually a month and a half, you want to get back to good levels, right? In 2021, what you realize is that actually the corrections were a lot less. They were a lot less brutal, except we'll talk about one of the corrections, but the corrections were a lot less brutal. And that's what I'm trying to show you, is that here the average was about 38%. Here the average was around 25 to 30%. Now we are in this correction, and this correction was a 33% correction, but we've gone down about 20%. Now, if you take the pattern of saying the 2016, 2017 Bitcoin, there was less liquidity. It was a less institutionalized asset. There were less people to buy the dip. Moving into 2021, there were slightly more. Therefore, the dips weren't as aggressive and the asset was much more mature. And then we went into this cycle where the asset is much more mature. What you can kind of extrapolate is that if we've had a 20% correction, it doesn't mean it's over, but it means that we're probably nearer the bottom of the correction than we are the top of the correction, unless, of course, we are in a bear market. And I keep saying that because we have to keep that probability in mind. Even though, spoiler alert, I don't think that this is a bear market, I do believe that we should always keep it in mind when we're trading. That's the key to surviving in this market. The key to making money in crypto is actually just to survive. And the key to surviving in this market is to trade as if it is a bear market. If we are in a bear market, you're holding good assets that you're happy to hold through a bear market. If we're not, chances are the good assets will at some point recover, right? And that's how we're trading this. The problem is not Bitcoin. We've been looking at the Bitcoin corrections. The problem is not Bitcoin, guys. The problem is the altcoins. And when we look at the altcoins and we look at the 1 month view, which you can do on Banter Bubbles by just going, clicking on the 1 month. By the way, you can also look at stocks, and we can see that the stock market actually looks amazing today. Is the NASDAQ up 1.5% already today, Josh? On the monthly. Oh, let's go on the daily. Hold on, let's go on the daily. Okay, today, the market's not open yet. It's just open. So it's just a little bit open. You can see some are green, some are red. So that's quite an encouraging sign. Anyway, the altcoins are the ones that are getting wrecked. And worse than that, the problem is that the altcoins that are getting wrecked are the most widely held altcoins, right? ETH got wrecked, one of the most widely held altcoins. Solana got wrecked, one of the most widely held altcoins. The other thing that got wrecked is meme coins. Because, why? Because they're the most widely held. And so what's going on now is the assets that are capitulating are the assets that are the most widely held assets by the crypto community. ETH, Solana, meme coins. That is what the cycle was about. The cycle was about Bitcoin, Sol, meme coins, and some ETH. And those three assets have completely been wrecked. And with them, they've wiped out all the retail investors. They're pretty much, I think Scott Melker tweeted yesterday, said, we're offboarding retail investors. I think that's what he said yesterday. So let's look at why it happened. And the truth is, I don't really care why it happened. Because as Ben Cowan says, he says, you can try and look for reasons as to why something happened. But the reality is that the reasons don't matter, because you'll always look for a narrative that matches your chart, right? He said last week the gurus were telling you that the China was doubling their money supply, which is wrong. They were just reading it different. And then ETH was bullish because the Hacked Exchange had to buy it. And that you should front run alt season before QT ends. Doesn't matter. The charts are the charts. And show me the charts and I'll tell you what the news is going to be. But what triggered this was just a random press conference with Powell and Macron, and just Powell... Trump and Macron. And Trump just randomly, you know, like he does, Trump just speaks. He doesn't think about before he speaks, but he just randomly said this.
Ever sign a thing like this? So the tariffs will go forward, yes. And we're going to make up a lot of territory. We're going to, all we want is reciprocal. We want reciprocity. We want to have.
So he said the tariffs are going to continue, but that's after he put a 30-day hold on the tariffs between Canada and Mexico. Now, we all know that this is how Trump talks, and he does this to intimidate the other side so that they will relent to all his desires, and that's usually what lands up happening. He's a big talker. He bullies the other side through talk. And the markets responded. And the problem is that when the markets responded here, we realized that there was no liquidity in crypto, right? And that is what happened. So the problem is not that Trump spoke about tariffs. The problem is that there's no more demand or no more liquidity in crypto. And so when there's no more demand or no more liquidity in crypto, it means that all the buyers are max spent. It means that there's no more cash on the sides waiting to buy. And therefore, there's nothing supporting the market there. And you can see that when you look at the ETFs. If you look at the ETFs, negative, positive, negative, 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 positive, closed, negative, 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 negative. You see, there has been an outflow on the ETFs since we got to 108,000. The peak buying on the ETFs was actually when the price was the highest. And so the problem is that when the price goes down, people buy ETFs when the price is going up and people sell ETFs when the price is going down. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. It happens all the time. It happens in all markets. Someone says Ronnie is sweating. Yeah, I don't know why I'm sweating today. I think I'm getting sick. The ETFs, the problem with the ETFs is the higher the price goes, the more people want them. The lower the price goes, the less people actually want them. And so what you're seeing now is that Bitcoin's ETF inflows peaked when the price peaked. And since then, 1.62 billion has actually flowed out of the ETFs. And so we're in a position where for the first time since September, there is negative demand for Bitcoin. There is no demand for Bitcoin. There's actually negative demand. That's what's happening. The only real buyer out there is Saylor. And as I said to you before, I think that the fact that there is only one buyer is a very scary thing for the market. And especially because as the price of Bitcoin goes down, the available collateral that Michael Saylor has to borrow against actually also lands up going down. And that's not a very good position for Michael Saylor to be in if he's trying to raise things. So what we realized is that Trump sparked off this thing yesterday, but that's not the cause of it. The cause is that there's just no demand currently for Bitcoin and no demand currently for altcoins. And probably the underlying reason why there's no demand is because people are scared. And what are people scared about? People are scared about inflation. The reality is that we thought that Trump was going to come in. Our assumption was the following. Trump comes in, sets up a strategic reserve, buys up 5% of the Bitcoin, lowers interest rates, begins QE, and we get this massive alt season. What we're realizing now is that the US has a very persistent inflation problem. And if you look at the inflation, they are talking about the fact that inflation may actually increase back to 4.6% by July. This is what people are starting to talk about. The fact that if we carry on currently as we are doing, as we are going, inflation could get to 4.6% by July. And that is what the market's really scared of. There's right now, the markets are scared. The markets are scared and they're running into gold. And the VIX is going up. And why? Because the expectations, people don't know how Trump is going to decrease interest rates. Because he can't decrease interest rates if there's this lingering problem of inflation. And this inflation isn't going to go away. And so now what people are starting to factor in is they're starting to factor in 4 to 15 months of pain while somehow Trump miraculously reduces inflation. How does Trump reduce inflation? Number one, he reduces the cost of oil and energy. How does he do that? By fracking and by making peace between Russia and Ukraine, which he's already working on. The other way for Trump to reduce inflation is for Doge to actually start working. Problem is that it's going to take a long time for Doge to actually start working. It's like when you're running a company. And you want to do you start doing budget cuts. And so you start retrenching people and whatever else. The problem is you only see that 6 months later. You only see the effect 6 months later. So it's not like all these effects are all of a sudden going to reduce inflation next month and the month after. And so the problem is that the markets are now starting to get scared about this inflation. And when they voted Trump in, they thought, okay, well, Trump is the dream. It's exactly what we wanted. But the reality is that he walked into a situation where inflation was rampant, interest rates are high, and he can't really bring them down to stimulate the economy because of inflation. And that's what people are starting to worry about. And you can see it in the NASDAQ as well. So this is just a chart of the NASDAQ. It's about 5% down from the top. But now all we hope is that we have NVIDIA earnings. We're not NVIDIA earnings. Tomorrow we have NVIDIA earnings. We need to make sure that the NVIDIA earnings are very, very good tomorrow. Otherwise, hold on to your horses because then you're going to get another little capitulation event, right? And if you look at the charts, And again, I'm not like relying 100% on the charts, but if you look at the Magnificent Seven, they've also broken down below the wedge ahead of the Nvidia, ahead of the Nvidia results. And so, long story short, we are where we are right now. We've had a capitulation event, and we need to understand how low can we actually go? How bad can this correction actually get? Let's actually look at it. How much lower can this go if this is a correction, and how much lower can this go if we actually are in a bear market? So let's look at the first scenario first. The first scenario is, let's assume that this is just a correction, and let's compare it to other corrections. So generally, we want Bitcoin to remain above or in this range, which is above 90,000. We actually want it to be over 91,000 before the end of the week, because then it closes in the bull market support band. If not, we have to be open to the option that this cycle is different and that we're going into a bear market. Now, going into a bear market doesn't mean that we're going into a two-year bear market. Sometimes you can have a six-month bear market, and then you go back into a bull market. That's pretty normal. That, in fact, that actually happened. If you look at Bitcoin in 2021, even though everyone calls it a very, very, very big bull market, it wasn't actually. It was a short bull market. And then what happened was, we went into a bear market which lasted, I mean, you could say 160 days, that's 5 months, right? You could say something like that. And then we went to the higher top. Now, that's what Chris Bernanke says. He says, look, and I think this is, I generally do agree with Chris Bernanke's tweets, but this particular tweet I don't really agree with. He says, in the middle of 2021, Bitcoin went down 56%. ETH went down 61% and SOL drew down 67%. Many others 70% to 80%+. That was in the middle of 2021. And he says, you can come up with all the reasons why this cycle is different, but the mid-bull cycle reset isn't unprecedented. Now, hold on a second. I think that he's wrong here. And the reason why I think that he's wrong is that if you look at 2021 and you look at the bull market of 2021 and you look at what actually happened here, the best trade would have been to sell here in April. Why? Because you would have had to endure 50% drawdown on Bitcoin. 50% drawdown on Bitcoin to get yourself 5.7% of upside if you called the top 100% right. That to me was a stupid event. You should have just, that is actually for me the top. Because to hold on for 200 days and to have a 57% drawdown only to make 5.7% after is probably the worst trade known to mankind. Like, you know that and I know that, right? Because we are mankind. The other thing is, so again, like there are levels in the charts. We've got to talk about them. I mean, there's the bull market support band. We're below that. There's the 200-day EMA at 85K. And then there's the CME gap at 75K, 77 to 75K. Those are three critical levels. Like, I mean, if we drop 85, if we don't close above 85, then the next level is 77 to 70K on Bitcoin. And that's the next support level. And then, like, probably the worst case scenario, the worst case scenario is that we have put in a double top. I'm not an expert at double tops. So at this point, I'm going to bring Josh onto the show. Josh, please join us. Okay, but so tell us, if we have a double top, how much do we retrace here? Which is where? So, I mean, look, I mean, the people are talking about this double top, top one, top two. That's not a good thing. It'll probably take us down to, yeah, that's where the double top will take us to, which is 70K. It's possible. I'm showing you all the options. I'm not a fortune teller. I can't tell you what's going to happen. I wish I could. If I did, I wouldn't have to YouTube, right? But I have to show you all the different things that can happen. If you ask me what I think is going to happen, what I think is we felt a lot of pain already. Relative to 2016 and 17, we haven't felt enough pain, but the asset is more mature and there's more liquidity and there's more buyers and it's a much more institutional asset. And so I don't expect Bitcoin to go down much more than it went in 2021. And that would take us to a maximum of a 30% drawdown, bearing in mind that we're currently at a 20% drawdown, which means that my worst case scenario says we close the CME gap. That's like my worst case scenario. Ralph Paul says, look, all you need is patience. This was very similar to 2017, 5x28% pullbacks. They lasted 2 to 3 months before a new high. Possible. That's, I think, This is a scenario. It's certainly not a very quick thing. There is some light at the end of the tunnel. One of the lights at the end of a tunnel is the fact that you can see that global money supply actually predicted this. So Bitcoin is a function of liquidity. Liquidity is a function of global money supply. And if you track the green line on this chart, which shows you global money supply, what you realize is that actually global money supply predicted this. It topped here and Bitcoin lagged slightly. It bottomed here and now it's going up and Bitcoin is lagging slightly. And that shows me that at some point we're going to get Bitcoin actually turning. You can see it here better on this chart over here, where it shows exactly that. Usually we lag global money supply by a couple of days. I'm being a little bit generous here. So this year is the Bitcoin price. This year is the global the money supply. Currently we are 77 days behind the global money supply, which means that possibly we should get some kind of turn here. My bet is that that's the scenario that actually plays out. And we get some kind of turn and there's a lag between the M2 money supply, which Powell actually spoke about, and where we actually are today. So that is what if you ask me what can happen, I think there's three scenarios. One is we're in a bear market. Hold on to your horses. Can be anything between 6 months and even up to 2 years. I don't think that I give that scenario 25 to 40%. The next one is that when we turn. I think we felt enough pain. And I think that my worst case scenario says we're getting to close that CME gap, which is at around 77,000. And that for me would be the absolute bottom. That's effectively how I'm playing this thing. Or specifically when it comes to Bitcoin, how I'm playing this thing. Now let's talk about the altcoins, because the altcoins are a completely different thing. Someone on our morning call today, I won't mention any names because I don't really want to embarrass Andre. But he said, how much lower can altcoins go? Altcoins can go 90% lower. The question is, will they go 90% lower? Because it's already been a very, very, very brutal month for altcoins. Just look at what the altcoins look like. Look at these moves in the last month on Banter Bubbles. By the way, have I mentioned to you that you can do stocks on Banter Bubbles also? I have mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again. Does the sun here mean the stock market's open, Josh? Oh, okay, I understand how it works. So now the sun means the stock market's open. Okay. And okay. You know what you should do? You should make your NASDAQ and your S&P flash. So you know if they're moving up or down. You should do that. It makes it much more fun. Also it's good for dopamine. Anyway, the truth is when it comes to altcoins, we needed a change in behavior. And the truth is, I'm glad that this shit's going to be over now. And I think that this correction's going to be over when we all put our hands on a Bible and pledge that we'll never buy Fartcoin, Butcoin, Melania coin, Trump coin, and Libra coin. I really think that is when this correction will be over, because corrections are supposed to change behavior. Ben Cowan says that he's waiting for the altcoin Bitcoin pairs to go much further down, and then we're going to get an altcoin run. I hope he's not right, but to be honest, he has called it really right in the past. And so we have to listen to potentially what he says. If I look at the altcoins, he has a very interesting analysis for you guys. So what we did was we looked at the top 200 altcoins by market cap. And then we compared it back to before Trump came into power. So we went back to the 5th of November and we said, how many of the altcoins have actually given up all the gains that they made since the 5th of November? And the reason why we said that is because if you look at the 5th of November, let's quickly go to the 5th of November and let's quickly go to Total 3 because that's the right one here. Total 3. So here we go, Total 3. If you look at 5th of November, the levels that we were at So these are the levels that we were at on the 5th of November. This was after a 7-month chop. And I have to remind you, it was a 7-month chop, a massive drawdown. Just look at the drawdown. Let's say that was the top. And we had a drawdown of 40% on the altcoins. A 7-month chop and possibly the worst administration for crypto in the history of mankind, other than China, right? Actually, I even think that China was a better administration than the Biden administration. You can kind of say to yourself that you really don't want altcoins to... it wouldn't be logical that altcoins go back to where they were in the old administration. And now look at the area that we've just entered. We've entered the area of where the old administration was. You see, if you look at this line, this is old administration top. we are now starting to play in a line or in an area, which brings us back to the old administration, which kind of makes no logical sense. It doesn't make sense to me that prices should go back to when there was an unfavorable administration to crypto, right? I mean, the SEC is closing its investigations into Robinhood. It's closing its investigations into Binance. It's closing its investigations into Coinbase. Everything is pro-Bitcoin, pro-altcoins. Citadel is becoming a market maker in this market. It doesn't feel like right that the market should go back to where the old administration was. And now we're entering, this is now old administration territory. This here is new administration territory, right? And so what the market is telling you is that now we're moving back into old administration territory. And that, to me, signals that potentially we felt enough pain, right? Also, deeper analysis. 89 tokens are more positive than they were when Trump came into power. But now let's look at this. Let's look at the data sheet here. This is where it actually gets interesting. So let's ignore the ones that launched and did thousands of percents because their base cost was zero. So let's remove that. Let's remove that. Let's remove that. Let's remove that. Let's remove Toshi because it's just... Now let's look at them and say, look, there are certain coins that have been performing. The majority of the coins, over 100 of the coins, the large majority of the coins are actually way under when the new administration came in. There are some that are over. Who are they? The America coins. So XRP, the America coin, HBAR, the America coin, Stellar Lumens, the America coin. Some new launches, things like Virtuals, Algorand, the America coin, Cardano, I don't know what coin that is. Charles's coin, Prince Charles's coin. But you see, what I'm trying to show you is that there has been pain. There possibly can be more pain here because there are still some coins that are higher than when Trump came into power. There can be some more pain in altcoins, and you should be ready for the possibility of there being some more pain in altcoins. Be ready for that possibility. As I said to you, the difference is that we've had two capitulations in the cycle, and the two capitulations, we've had three, and the three capitulations are all of the widest held assets. The first one was ETH, and actually with ETH, I'm very encouraged by what's going on. Why? Because I don't know if you remember when we did the ETH show, I said to you, either you get a single bottom or more likely you actually get a double bottom where another wick comes back to take out that support. And now we're getting that double wick coming to take out that support. You can see it over here. One, two, and then generally with these double bottoms, it usually goes up. And that gives me hope. The next thing is when I look at Sol, right? Sol had its major liquidation event last night. And I mean, it got obliterated, went down to like $130. And that brings Sol like 50% down. But more importantly, the meme coins are down over 92%. Look at Mudang. Remember that hippo Mudang, which was supposed to be, it was a hippo that was supposed to be around multi-cycle because it was a hippo. It's a multi-cycle hippo. Remember? It's not doing so well anymore. Looks like it's a single cycle hippo. No, it's not a multi-cycle hippo. I mean, how dumb were we to... I mean, I always stayed the majority away from these, but I mean, now I think we're really resetting behavior. In fact, Sol is down so badly that they actually called in SBF. No jokes. The guy actually tweeted. I don't know how he got a phone in jail, but he actually, the guy, assuming he's still in jail, he said, I have a lot of sympathy for government employees. I too have not checked my email for the past few hundred days. And I can confirm being unemployed is a lot less relaxing than it looks. He's tweeting, bro. Or someone's accessed his account. So the things were so bad for Solana, they actually managed to get SBF to start tweeting again. That's basically what happened out there. I guess Miles is actually right here. He says the reason for the sell-off is so brutal because people have lost faith and belief. The reason why people have lost faith and belief is because the faith and belief was mainly to these stupid meme coins, bro, that actually have no real fundamental value, zero, right? And that is why there's zero faith and belief left in this actual market. As I said, as it relates to ETH, I think it's great because we're having that double wick, which is, see here, bottom, double wick. Let me show you a few more of these. It's happened a few times. Look here, bottom, double wick. Here, bottom, triple wick. Here, all these, usually these bottoms have the double wick, and I think we've just had it on ETH, which is to me a little bit of hope. Anyway, let's talk about what happens next. Manage the downside and let the upside take care of itself. Okay, just manage your downside, just survive. In crypto, if you want to make money, all you need to do is survive and you will make money. But you got to survive. And that means you got to manage your downside and make sure you don't get liquidated and make sure you don't lose your money in hacks and make sure you don't actually get wrecked. And let the upside take care of itself. Remember that the concept of bullish selling is simple. Coins transferring from weaker hands to stronger hands and also value shifting to better and better coins. Right now, it feels like this could still be a bull market, in which case it's just coins moving from weak hands to strong hands or from weak coins to strong coins. That's pretty much what I think is happening at the moment. As Alex says, in crypto, survival is all that matters. Just survive the crashes and don't give up. And I promise you, you'll end up making money. And I know this because I've been here for three cycles. It cannot be the end of crypto. It cannot be the end of Bitcoin. It's a shake designed to get you guys out. If it was the end of Bitcoin and it was the end of crypto, I don't think that the president's son would be tweeting buy the dips. And if it wasn't enough that one son tweets buy the dips, I think also either Watcher Guru is wrong, but also Donald Trump Jr. tweeted that he should say buy the dips. It is a new era. It is a new era. And you need to make sure that you're not this guy, right? You're not buying at 108 to sell at 90. Right? Because this is how the markets are, right? Everything else when it goes on sale, every other thing when it goes on sale, you buy it, except crypto. You don't buy it. You shit your pants. You don't actually buy it. From my experience, it doesn't feel like a top. It feels like a shakeout. In a month and a half, I think the prices will be higher. I may be wrong. We may be going into a bear market. Either way, I'm holding quality. I hope that you guys are also holding quality. And then we're going to ride the cycle together because we know that regardless of what happens in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 days, 3 weeks, we know that ultimately it's not the end of crypto. And I think that we have another big leg up in this bull market. So hold on tight and make sure you just survive. Now, just a couple of public service announcements, right? Number one, if you got blown up in the last couple of days, and I know a lot of people actually did get blown up in the last couple of days, trade with other people's money, guys. And there is a way to trade with other people's money. Really, there is. I've told you guys a million times that you can trade with other people's money. I'm only making two public service announcements. Go to Bitfunded. Bitfunded allows you to trade with other people's money. Literally, you pay $79, you get an account of $5,000. If you get over 5,000, if you get over 8% in the first challenge and over 5% in the second challenge, you're trading with someone else's money. You can't lose more than the $79. You can make 90% of all the fucking upside. Make sure you do that. Next thing I'm reminding you guys, this is the second last day I'm ever going to mention it. You see this thing called Kerberos? This is to protect your crypto. It is probably the most sophisticated app that I've seen in terms of protecting your crypto. I'll explain to you why. This reads codes of websites to make sure that there's no draining code on the website. So all you do is you press this button, it adds a Chrome extension to your browser. I can't add a Chrome extension to this browser because it's a work laptop. Long story short, you add it to Chrome, it scans the sites that you're surfing to make sure you don't get drained. The last thing that you can afford to do now is get drained. Go to this link over here and do it. They have no losses for the past 2 years. And if you use it, you've got $30,000 cover in case you do get hacked. Trust me, do that. Lastly, you know that the exchanges have been fighting a battle because one exchange gave you $200, another exchange gave you $200. Today, Gate.io phoned us and they said, look, we saw what Bybit gave. We saw what VX gave. We also want to give. Everybody wants to give. So I'm just reading here what they want to give. It's simple. You click the link. This is how it works, right? You get, if you sign up, you get a voucher between $10 and $100. Then when you transfer $200 into a futures account, you get $100. Then when you achieve another $20,000 in futures trading volume, you get another $200. So you're getting $500 here, basically. So if you want free $500, then you know where to go. All the links are over there. Guys, hang in there. Make sure that you survive. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. I promise. Until then. Trade well, my friends.